Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lentz, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges chapter 16 called The Seduction of Samson.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you. We are going to open to the book of Judges. We're in chapter 16. We're looking at the final chapter on Samson. First five books of Moses, Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth. So that's where you want. And tonight we are going to look at the seduction of Samson. So this will be the last chapter on his life. And that's a pretty cool picture up there. Pretty defined back muscles there. But something that we need to know about Samson is that tonight will be about the secret of his strength. And that implies to us that he was not a bodybuilder. He was probably an average build. That's my assumption given the evidence that we have. Because his strength was supernatural. His strength came from a Nazarite vow, but more than that, it didn't come from his hair, it came from the Lord. The Lord was his strength, and the Lord is our strength tonight. And we have the privilege of knowing the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and there's no power like it. In all the universe, there's no power like the power of the Holy Spirit. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. So would to God that we would tap into it more, amen, and know the joy and the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. So tonight, it is Judges 16, verse 1, and these words open the chapter. And I'm going to read the first verse, and then we'll pray. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot or a prostitute there. And this is an odd verse to read and then pray. And he went into her. Oh, Lord, help us. As we study the Bible is transparent about its heroes. We get the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's no slant to the way the story is told because the story is told in truth. And the truth is that life is messy. It's a broken world. Samson, as much as he is a famous judge, perhaps the most famous we know of, yet he was a double-minded man. He was in many ways unstable. He experienced the heights of the power of the Holy Spirit like perhaps few men have known, and yet at the same time he was captivated by his eyes, and often what he saw he acted upon, and tonight we're going to read that it was his undoing. It was his death. He died because of the fact that he couldn't rein it in. And Lord, he's not the only one. History, if it were unfolded before our eyes, we would see many Samsons, many men and women who took the forbidden fruit and paid the price. And in some cases, the ultimate price. But thank you that to get ahead of ourselves tonight, we know that Samson is in the Hall of Faith. And that ultimately, even his life did not define how he's seen when it's all said and done. And we're grateful for that. But we want to learn from Samson because these things were written for our instruction. Not that we would just have head knowledge, but that we would have a way to navigate life. That truth, even the mistakes of past generations would inform us, guide us, keep us from doing the same things, from craving evil things as they did. And Paul goes on to say, we need to take heed lest we fall. So help us, O Lord. We need all the help we can get. So would you help us tonight as we study this chapter? It's one that I found myself even weeping over a little bit today, thinking about Samson and what he went through. But I pray that we would learn and become more like you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said. As I mentioned, a few people in history have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit like Samson, I don't know a whole lot of stories that we could say one man by the power of the Holy Spirit with the jawbone of a donkey killed 1,000 Philistines, right? That's power. That's raw power. And it came from the Lord. We've looked at three messages, including tonight's, the riddle of Samson. He was a bit of a riddle. We looked last week at the rejection and revenge of Samson. He was rejected. Remember, he was ready to be married and consummate that marriage. And then he found out that his bride had been given to his best man. And that was devastating. And tonight we're going to look at the seduction of Samson. I had mentioned to you that some giants in church history saw Samson as a type of Jesus. When we say type, we mean that in some way Samson casts a shadow to the Messiah. I had mentioned to you in a previous message that there's no perfect human type of the Messiah, because even David, who might be the most pointed to shadow or type of the Messiah, that would mean someone who kind of pictured the Messiah as a human being, even David fell woefully short, we know. So there's no perfect type of the Messiah. And Samson in some ways is a type of Jesus, but he's also what we would call an anti-type. He's the opposite of Jesus in many ways, but in some ways he does cast a shadow of Jesus. And so we'll dig out a little bit more of that. We've already talked a little bit about that. I also want to mention that, just to repeat some things that I've shared with you, that Samson in many ways is a picture of the nation of Israel, where he gets this calling from before he's born. He's set apart. He has a Nazirite vow that he didn't choose. God has decided to use him in a very special way. So he's a picture of the nation of Israel. But he's also a picture in some ways of a Christian who can be double-minded. The book of James is really, if you were to take a major theme for the book of James, it's really about double-mindedness and how to avoid being double-minded. And Samson was that. He experienced the heights of the power of God, and it's hard to imagine that he wasn't thrilled when he experienced that and wasn't walking on clouds, if you will. And yet, we know the lows that he had as well. Here's one of those lows. It's in 16:1. Samson went to Gaza. That would be the modern area of Gaza. They have uncovered this city, by the way. It is below the modern city of Gaza today, or the modern state, I guess you'd say, of Gaza. And what they do, archaeologists, when they dig up ancient cities, they call them tells. And a tell is a city buried beneath a city. And so ancient cities are often underneath a modern city. And so that this is the Gaza that's been in the news. It's about right near the Egyptian border. It's a few miles from the Mediterranean Sea. And it was one of the main Philistine cities. And this is where Samson is. And he's gone to this place and he saw. Samson's eyes are a problem. He sees something and he seems to act upon it. In the first chapter, when we met Samson, he went to his parents and he said, I saw a woman in Timnah. Get her for me. She looked good to me. Samson like girl. You know, Samson like how she look. That's kind of the feel we got from it. And the parents said, why don't you marry somebody from our nation? Why don't you marry an Israelite? No, she looked good to me, right? And so that's where the story unfolded, where he was supposed to marry this girl, and it was all set up, and then he told his riddle, and you guys know the story if you've been with us. It didn't work out. Samson never got to marry her. And he seemed to care about her, because remember, the dad, after he had given Samson's wife, in quotes, they were betrothed or engaged, after she was given to his best man, the dad offered a younger, what he described as a prettier girl, and Samson said no. And then he went off, remember, and killed some people and went to his parents' house. And then he came back, and his wife, in quotes, had been given to another man. So here, Samson once again sees. Here he sees a prostitute. There are some commentators that believe this woman is a plant. She has been positioned in such a way to entice him and then to set up an ambush to kill Samson, that the Philistines would have the advantage. But the text doesn't say that. The text just says he saw a prostitute. I read another commentator who said there are probably a lot of prostitutes in the area. You know, it's one of those oldest professions, right? And so he saw her, and maybe it wasn't something that they planned out, but he certainly saw her. And then you can see in verse 1 that he acted upon seeing her. And this is where he, you know, he's clearly flirting with disaster. Samson is a man who seemed to act upon his urges without much thought. I have a friend that's now pastoring in Northern California, and we've known each other for quite a long time. He just had a birthday, and we talked on the phone briefly, and we went on a mission trip to India, and we were kind of coming up in the church at the same time, and we both got saved in our 20s, and we both felt almost an immediate tug into ministry. So our lives and families have kind of paralleled each other, and I would consider him a good friend, although we don't talk all the time, but I always know, you know, we can pick up the phone and kind of pick up where we left off.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hey there, are you enjoying the enriching teachings of Pastor Michael on Walk in Truth? If you're a longtime listener, we need your support to keep spreading Pastor Michael's unique insights as he teaches through the Bible. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you'll help us cover the costs of radio airtime and with podcast production. Your donation also ensures that more people can access Pastor Michael's teaching and bonus material on the free Walk in Truth app. Please join us in our mission to equip believers like you with God's truth. Visit walkintruth.com and click on the donate button today. That's walkintruth.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
We both felt almost an immediate tug into ministry. So our lives and families have kind of paralleled each other. And I would consider him a good friend, although we don't talk all the time. But I always know, you know, we can pick up the phone and kind of pick up where we left off. And I remember in our 20s, a lot of the discussion was about sexual purity. And, you know, we were in our 20s and we were coming out of the world. And so, you know, a lot of the things we were learning about, you know, how do we keep things in control and how do we not go back to our old life? And I remember one time he said, Michael, I'm learning that just because I have an urge, it doesn't mean I have to act upon it. And that's something that we really need to understand, because just because you have an urge to do something, it doesn't mean that you have to act upon it. You can crucify the flesh. You can say no. Thank you, Brother Bert. Would you do me a favor? If someone can get to the air conditioner, it's pretty cold up here. And I want them to be warm tonight. I want this sermon to... No, I'm just kidding. So, but Samson doesn't seem to be that way. He doesn't think through his decisions. And I just want to give you a practical application. And this is something I think we learn as we go on in the Lord. I heard somebody once say, look, if you're gonna make a decision, you might want to stop. Let's just say that you're at the beginning of a road and you're going to make a decision. Look to the end of the road and ask yourself, if I do this, where will this take me? Because what happens is when you are tempted, sin wants you to have tunnel vision. Wisdom says, open up your vision. And if you do that thing, where will that take you? Where will that lead you? You have to look at the end of the road to be wise. Samson didn't seem to walk in a whole lot of wisdom. And he experienced what a lot of us experience, which is the battle between the flesh and the spirit. This is Romans 7, 21 through 25. Do we have that to put up on the screen back there? Romans 7, 21 through 25. Here's Paul talking. He says, I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, But I see a different law in the members of my body. Here's the key phrase that jumped out at me. Waging war against the law of my mind. There's a war. And making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. It causes Paul to cry out famously, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" And then he celebrates, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. But on the other, interestingly enough, with my flesh, the law of sin." There's nothing good in my flesh. That's why it has to be crucified. Do you see what Paul is saying? He's saying it has to die because it wants what it wants. And the spirit must take the uppermost place. This is 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. He's talking to the church and he says, "But you, church, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you, as aliens and strangers, to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul." This is the battle we have, and it is put in terms of war, and Samson was a warrior. It's a different kind of war, if you will, but it's a war nonetheless. It's a war between flesh and spirit. It's a war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so here is Samson. He enters into Gaza, sees this prostitute, and he spends the night with her. He's intimate with her. And he plays what the Bible would call the part of the fool. I want you to hold your place in Judges and go to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. So you're going to go to your right. You're going to pass up the Psalms and you're going to get the Proverbs. And we're going to go to chapter 7. And I just want you to see this book. If you haven't read through Proverbs before, if you want practical daily wisdom, like from a father to a son, from a mother to a daughter, this is it. Proverbs 7, verse 1. "My son, keep my words. Treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live. My teaching is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers," Proverbs 7, 3. "Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, 'You are my sister.' Call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive and discerned among youths a young man lacking sense. Passing through the street near her corner, he takes the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, in the darkness, behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot or prostitute and cunning of heart. She's boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. So she seizes him and kisses him, and with a brazen face she says to him, 'I was due to offer peace offerings today. I've paid my vows. Therefore, I've come to meet you. Oh, you are so special. To seek your presence earnestly, I found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I've sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. For my husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him. At the full moon, he will come home. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life." You could put Samson's name right here. "Now therefore, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down. Numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way of Sheol, descending to the chambers of death." Back to Judges. Now we could go on. I remember Pastor Mel was talking to his son, and he was going through Proverbs, and his son finally responded, "Dad, why is there so much about women in Proverbs? Women, women, women." Pastor Mel said, "Well, there's a reason for that. We're going to meet tonight," and of course, this is not saying women in general. There are many very special, precious women. It's a type of woman. It's the devil with the blue dress on. Lord have mercy. Ha! Sorry. Anyway. This is a verse I didn't give you, but you can write it down. Proverbs 23, 26 and 27 says, "Give me your heart, my son, let your eyes delight in my ways, for a prostitute is a deep pit. An adulterous woman is a narrow well. You'll get squeezed," is basically what is being said.
You've been listening to The Seduction of Samson, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That's Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges chapter 16. If you missed any part of today's program, Walk in Truth is on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and many more podcast apps. Listen for free to Pastor Michael's teachings in more books of the Bible. We would also love to hear from you. You can email Pastor Michael with your questions you may have from his teachings today, or maybe you have a question about something else, or need encouragement, or prayer. Maybe you'd like to share how Pastor Michael's teachings have affected you. You can email Pastor Michael at contact@walkintruth.com. That's contact@walkintruth.com. You can also find our mailing address on walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, maybe you're a new believer and you're hearing for the first time about the seduction of Samson. Maybe you've heard some things about the story, but now you're getting the close-in snapshots, you know, here it is in our Bible right before us. And maybe you'd say, like I would certainly say happened with me some years ago, you know, I got saved in the late 80s. I think it was about 1986, 87. So that's a long time ago now. Time has marched on and, you know, whatever that is, over 35 years of walking with the Lord. And he's been so good to me. And I remember when I first became a Christian, I was, I don't know if you want to say typical, but I was a typical party guy. I was an athlete, but I was certainly partying and not doing things God's way in regard to relationships, etc. And when you carry those things into your new life in Christ, so let's say you're a new Christian, you may have the question, well, how do I break away from that, because maybe you'd say, I do good for a while, and then all of a sudden I fall to my old habits, and I kind of even hate it, but I still do it for whatever weird reason. Here's what I found. I found that when I became a new Christian, the first 4 years were a little rough and tumble, but my falls to sin started to spread out. So whereas maybe I would, you know, do something dumb every weekend, then it became once every couple weeks, once a month. And all of a sudden, I'm not making an excuse for my sin. I'm just being real with you. All of a sudden, you know, falling to sin became less habitual until it was in the rearview mirror. No one arrives. We're all still going to fall short, and I do as well. But I say it just to encourage you, if you're a newer believer, that as long as you're, you know, if you're falling, you don't want to, but if you're finding that you're stronger for longer periods of time, you're moving in the right direction. And if you do fall, repent quickly, learn the lesson, and move forward in Christ, because there's nothing there for you anymore, man. It won't do you any good. You're going to feel a sense of conviction, and that's a good thing, but what you want to be is as consistent as possible. As somebody put it, as a believer, you're not going to be sinless, but you will certainly sin less. This is Pastor Michael Lance. We're learning about the seduction of Samson from Judges chapter 16. And I pray that it's been a blessing for you, that you're learning some really good critical lessons about how to walk consistently and how to walk in victory. We're going to do part two tomorrow, Lord willing, as we look at the seduction of Samson. So join us, share this with a friend. Hey, please keep us in prayer as Walk in Truth. We have some exciting new opportunities, and we need wisdom from God and provision. And we thank you for praying for us, and we'll see you right here tomorrow.
And join us tomorrow for part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 16, called The Seduction of Samson.
And maybe he thinks it's a bit of a game. And Samson said to her, well, if they bind me seven with seven fresh cords that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. I shared with you a commentary that I had read where I think it was Webb making the case that it seems as though Samson maybe deep down wants to be like every other man, just like the nation of Israel wanted to be like every other nation. They seemed to act that way. They were enthralled with the gods of the other nations. And even though they had been set apart, they were God's chosen nation. He had chosen them to keep the oracles of God and write them down, to bring forth the Messiah, etc. The temple, all of that. They seemed to often kick against it or not want it.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.